Coming out tonight, we give you a very warm welcome. Tonight, we're so thankful that you came to hear the gospel. Another night, we can hear God's precious truth. Can you turn with me to Romans 5, please? The book of Romans and chapter 5. Just read a few verses here, Romans 5. Romans 5 and verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation or suffering works patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope makes not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man, some would even dare to die. But here's the verse I want to speak about. But God commendeth his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Going back to verse 8, but God commendeth or demonstrated or showed forth his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So now the gospel, as you know, if you've come here somewhat frequently, and many of you have, you know that, or you have heard, that the gospel is a message of God's love towards mankind, towards the whole human population. I remember growing up, I never really heard a clear gospel. I grew up in religion, in tradition, and I remember I never really heard a clear gospel of what the Lord Jesus Christ truly did that was so significant, and how what he has done on the cross is really what is needed for us to get to heaven. I never heard that growing up. I did hear from my mom that Jesus is the only way to heaven. But what really is significant about what Jesus Christ has done on the cross? And how is this good news? You see, the gospel really means, in very simple terms, the good news of God towards mankind. Now, granted, when we speak about the gospel, there is a negative. There is a negative first, and that is what we will speak about first. But then there's also the positive. So there's two aspects of the gospel. One of them, God wants us to recognize that we are lost. And the other aspect is that God wants us to recognize that there is salvation, or that we can be saved through his Son Jesus Christ. And how that, but not only is it is a time sensitive message as well. It really is a message that needs to be acted upon. It is something that we need to make a choice. Because if we choose to say no, to God's offer of salvation, then we are rejecting the only way to heaven. And therefore, we will have to die, as Scripture says, in our sins. So now I want to talk about four things in this verse, and maybe we can get through this. First of all, I want to talk about while we were yet sinners, Christ, I want to speak about Christ, who he is. I want to speak about died, what he did at the cross, and really who he did it for. Here we find ourselves again. So God's interest is towards mankind. And as we see how the verse starts, it starts by saying, but God commendeth, but God demonstrated. Because if you go before that, a few verses, to verse 6, it says, for when we were yet without strength, when we were yet without strength, no strength, weak, we have no strength in relation to God, in relation to getting to God's heaven, we have no strength, not even a little bit, no strength. Now it says a little bit further, we are yet sinners, we find in our verse. No strength, sinners. And later on it says this in verse 10, for if when we were enemies. So that is really a pretty dark picture if you think about it. Who we are in our natural state before God. We are without strength, no strength. We are enemies, and we'll talk about why that is the case. We are sinners, and we are also enemies of God. Now, religion will tell you, and the religion that I grew up in, they told us that if you get baptized, if you live in an isolated community away from the rest of the world, if you do the best that you can, someday you might make it into heaven. And really, that in a nutshell, I think, encompasses all of religion. They try to get to heaven by many different ways, by going to a priest and confessing your sins and all these things. But we find in God's word that we are sinners, and all the things that we do, all the good things we do, whatever we might think is good, really does not take away one sin. And that really tonight is how we start the gospel. It says that while we were yet sinners. Now, that is the problem that we have before a holy God. If you read in the Old Testament, we find a verse like this, that he is holy, holy, holy. And we find in the next verse, in verse 12, it says, for by one man, sin entered into the world. So now we have a holy, holy God. And if you're aware of the creation account in Scripture and how mankind was made, you will find that God made one man, and his name was Adam. And then he made from Adam's rib woman, and he called her Eve because she came out of Adam. So God made Adam and Eve. Those were the first people that God made. And when God made them, they were innocent. They had never, sin had not come into the world. So you might be asking, what is sin? Well, God gave Adam and Eve a commandment. He said to them, thou shalt not eat of the tree in the center of the garden. And the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. So that was a command that God had given to Adam and Eve. And if we know the story, what did Adam and Eve do? Well, Satan came along, that's that old snake, the deceiver. He came along and he said to them, "Hath God said?" He said to the woman, "Hath God really said this?" And the woman believed the lie, and she took of that fruit in the center of the garden, that God said, "Thou shalt not eat of it." And she gave to Adam, and now Adam was not even deceived. It says the woman was deceived. We read in the New Testament. But Adam knew what he was doing. He knew that when he knew actively that he is disobeying God, and he took of that fruit and he ate. And by one man, it says, sin entered into the world. This ugly word, sin. And what happened by sin? Remember what God said to him, the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. Now, we recognize that he didn't physically die because we're all here. If he would have physically died, then there would have been no human beings. But what happened? God put him out of his presence because God had given him a promise, the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. And what God meant is that you will no longer have fellowship with me. You cannot be in my presence anymore. You cannot be in my holy presence. And because of sin, because Adam disobeyed God, he was put out of that garden. And he was banished out of God's presence. And how many sins did he commit? And this is very important. We're going over this because this is very fundamental in our understanding how God is holy. And one sin, it was only one sin that they committed, and they were put out of God's presence. And really tonight, we read this here, what happened? And so death, in verse 12, it says this, and so death passed upon all men. It doesn't say now because Adam sinned, it says for that all have sinned. And that's where we come in here tonight, my friend. All have sinned. I have sinned. And we're the first ones here to recognize that we have sinned. We are wicked before God. And God wants us to recognize this, that we are not righteous in His sight. That because we have not only sinned once, God has given us, and you're probably very familiar with this, the Ten Commandments. And I'm sure if I asked you, you would be able to name a few right at the top of your head. But religion says if you live by the Ten Commandments, if you try to keep them and do the best that you can, you might make it into heaven. But notice the Ten Commandments were never given to us to try to get to heaven by them. What does the scripture say in Romans 7? It says by the law, the Ten Commandments in Scripture is called the law. By the law is the knowledge of sin. So God has given the Ten Commandments not for us to try to get into heaven by keeping them, but to show us that we can't keep them, to show us that we're sinful to the very core of our hearts. You see, it's a heart issue before God. It's not an outward trying to, the way I grew up, living away from society, in a secluded place, away from the world, it's not a physical thing. The world is right in the heart. And that's what the Lord Jesus Christ says. He says, out of the heart of man proceeds evil thoughts, adulteries, fornication, theft, murder. Out of the heart of man proceeds all these things. So by the law is the knowledge of sin. So God gave us the law to show us I've broken it. Even if I try, even my thought life. Jesus says, if you look with lust, you've committed adultery in your heart. He says, if you hate your brother, it's the same thing as committing murder before God. Think about that. God goes to the very thought life. It's not just what we do with our hands. It's our thought life, right? So we recognize by the law that we have sinned indeed before God. And what religion does, what religion really does, I mean, this might be a somewhat of a strange example, but they take, the law is like a mirror, and they take that mirror and they wash themselves or try to clean themselves up by keeping the law. No, it's there to show us, just like we are standing before a mirror and we're dirty. We don't take the mirror to clean ourselves up. We need something else. And that is really what the gospel is going to show us. What we need and what God has done to bring us to himself. Now, God loves people. And that is really what the gospel is all about. The good news of God. He loves people. He does not want you. Listen to this again. He does not want you to take a gamble on your eternity. We're just saying about eternity. It's a very serious, serious thing. God has given us everything to be saved, and he does not want one person to take a gamble on their eternity, to take a chance. I might get into heaven by doing this. No. God has made it very clear in Scripture what he has done, what he has provided. And we'll see this here. Because God loves us. God commendeth his love towards us. Religion thinks of God as somebody who is just standing on top of you with a knife and ready to plunge it down. And if you do anything wrong, you better appease him and so on. That's how they think of God. But we'll talk about what God has done here. But God commendeth his love towards us. We find that while we were yet sinners, we found that out. We are sinners indeed before him. And I hope tonight that you can recognize this, that you are a sinner indeed before God, because you have sinned according to Scripture and according to your own heart, according to your conscience. You recognize, yes, I have sinned against God. So you have to be honest with God, because you will never, ever be saved if you don't recognize tonight that you are a sinful person. And because of your sin, you can never get to heaven on your own. So we have to establish that tonight, that I am a sinner and you are a sinner before a holy, holy God. So here we read this. While we were yet sinners, Christ, this precious person. Now that is, we love the Lord Jesus because he has made the biggest impact in our lives. We were once lost. I love that song, and my brother Mark loves that song. Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. But salvation comes through a person. Salvation comes through a person. And this person's name is Jesus Christ. Tonight, if you don't remember anything else, may you know this, that salvation is through a person. It's not through religion. It's not through doing this, and that. It is through a person. We read there in John 1, it says that in him, in Jesus Christ, is life. And that is what we need, because we recognize that our sin, it says, by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, because all have sinned, death. And now we find life. And life is found in this person called Christ. In him is life. And his life is the light of men. We find death and darkness. In Christ we find life. And we find light. But it's found in him. And who is this man, Jesus Christ? But if you go to the Old Testament prophecies, when he showed up in Bethlehem in the manger, he didn't just come out of nowhere. He was prophesied. He was even in God's mind before the foundation of the world. You see, God is a great God. Before he even made mankind, he knew the history of what was going to happen, how mankind was going to sin against him. And when they sinned, he had a plan in place already, because we read that Christ is as a lamb slain before the foundation of the world, which simply means that ever in God's mind, he had Jesus Christ, and the Lord Jesus Christ always knew that he was going to come and he was going to pay for man's sin on the cross. Now, in the Old Testament, we read that he is the one, we read in Isaiah 9, who is this man? He shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, Almighty God. He is Almighty God. Now, he might not have heard this maybe before, but that man there in that manger in Bethlehem is Almighty God. And we read in the Old Testament, also in Isaiah, that it says, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. So he is God's eternal son. He is the eternal God who goes into eternity, the one who made the worlds. We read there in Colossians, in Hebrews 1 and in Colossians 1, through him and in John 1, all things were made by him. Without him, there was not anything made that was made. So this man is great, this Christ. He is great. And that is why he is the answer. He is great. We find in Micah 5, and I just love this prophecy. It says, out of Bethlehem Ephrata, specifically Bethlehem Ephrata, shall he come forth. The Lord Jesus Christ shall come out of Bethlehem unto God. He is going to fulfill God's purposes, whose goings forth are from everlasting. So the one who's going to come out of Bethlehem, he is going to be a true man. He is going to be unto us a child is born. He is going to come out of a virgin, and he's going to be born into this world as a true man, but he's also truly God. And that is why he is so unique. He is so significant. And that is why he is the only one who can bridge, who can fix the problem of man's sin. He is the only one who can fix the problem of man's sin. It has to be that great God-man, that man Christ Jesus. So he is God and he is man. And what do we read in Hebrews? And this is very fundamental in our understanding. We have to understand this, that he is holy, he is holy, he is harmless, he is undefiled. Nothing can defile him because he is God. And it says this, he is separate from sinners. He is separate from sinners. He is the holy God himself, and he is separate from sinners. It's not just this man, Jesus, just a mere man. No, he is unique. He is the one who is from eternity, and he came into time to deal with the problem of sin. Now, if you come to the next little line here, it says, Christ died. Christ died. How can this one die? Well, that is why he had to become a man. Now, I want to get into what is so significant about the cross and why Christians, how Paul could say, God forbid that I should glory except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Why does a Christian glory in the cross? How can you hope and boast in something that is so dreadful, something that is so painful, something that caused so much suffering? How can Christians appreciate a place like that? Well, I want to tell you, it's not just that place, it's also that person, that incredible combination of Christ on the cross and the significance of that. Now, that is really when I got saved, that is what I recognized for the first time in my life, what happened on the cross and why he was there. You see, I always thought, and you probably do too, how awful men treated the Lord Jesus Christ. We read in Scripture that his back was as a plowed field. His back was ripped open by this scourge, and it would go right into his ribs and his bones, and they would flog him. And they put a crown of thorns upon his head, and he had some spears, little spears in the crown of thorns, and it would beat his head with a rod, and that crown would go into his head, and the pain that would be associated with such treatment. They would bow the knee before him, and they would mock him, and they would say, well, later on they would say, he saved others, himself he cannot save. And they would mock him. He was the song of the drunkard. That's what we read in Scripture. He was the song of the drunkard. They would curse his name. And they would say, we do not, away with him. Away with him. Away with God. Away with his main Christ Jesus. Away with God's provision. Away with him. We do not want this man to reign over us. We don't want this man to reign over us. That's what people did to him. That's what people thought of God's son. And is that in our hearts as well? And I remember, I know before I was saved, we all would have been there at the cross. That is how wicked our hearts are. We're not going to cast any stones because we ourselves, we find all of this wickedness in our own hearts. But here we have men treating Christ like this. Now you might think, wow, that is severe. Why would God come down in the person of Jesus Christ to be treated like this? But it wasn't just that. We find, if you go to Isaiah 53, what does it say there? Isaiah 53 and verse 6. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to our own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity, the sin of us all. And we read in 2 Corinthians, he who knew no sin was made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So we find that is why it's so significant on the cross. It wasn't just what men did to him, but God also, all the wrath and anger of Almighty God against our sins was placed upon Christ. Because we read in Isaiah 53, he, which speaks of God, hath put him, which speaks of Christ, to grief. He hath put him to grief. And it says, Christ made his soul an offering for sin. You see, sin is the problem, and Christ is the answer. He is now dealing with sin, to get rid of sin, to take sin away, out of God's presence forever. But he is dealing with it on a place called Calvary, on the cross. And what else do we find there? We find darkness. At 12 o'clock in the afternoon, the Lord Jesus Christ No, from 9 o'clock, he was on the cross for 6 hours until 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And we read in Luke that the sun was darkened. Now, what is significant in Luke? In other areas, it says that it was dark, and darkness covered the whole land. But in Luke, we read the sun itself was darkened, which means that darkness covered the whole entire globe, Earth. And really, that is what Christ came for. He came to deal with sin in its totality. He came to deal with sin that covered the whole world. And there we find, in the darkness, he cried out, and listen to this, my God, why have you forsaken me? Now, if you can answer that tonight, it is a very precious answer to this. The reason why Christ was forsaken is because God in his holiness punished him and forsook him for our sins, because of our sins. And that is really tonight, when you get saved, when you come to the end of yourself and realize you cannot save yourself, you are a sinner, you are without strength, you are enemy of God. Strong language. Scripture says it. And you recognize, I am lost before God. I need a shelter in the time of storm. And when you come to that place before God and you are honest with him and you cry out to God in all of your honesty and you just cry out to him, oh God, I am lost. Please save me. And you will recognize that when Christ was on that cross, he took all your sins away. And the moment you see this, that I am a lost sinner, but Jesus died for me. He took my sin away, never to be brought up again. All of a sudden, we are cleansed. What does it say in Scripture? It says that the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Not from some sin. There's nothing left to go to a priest and confess it to. No, all sin. All sin. But it's only through the blood of Christ and what he has done on the cross. And tonight, that is really the gospel. That is really the good news of what Christ has done. God demonstrated. God didn't just sit back and let us all be condemned. He could have done that. He would have been righteous to do that. It wasn't something that he had to do to go and bring us back to himself and fix the problem that we created. But God, in his love towards mankind, he loves people. For God so loved the world. That's the verse that God used to save me. November 11, 2007, on a washroom floor, this verse penetrated my soul. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever here tonight believes in him, trusts in him, shall never perish, shall not perish, not go to hell forever for your own sin, but you shall have everlasting life. That is a verse from God's Bible, from the Word of God. God cannot lie. If God says it, and we believe that, that settles it. I like that saying. God is to be trusted. He cannot lie. So us as Christians, that's why we know we will be in heaven when we die. Not because of anything good that we have done, but it's only because of what Christ has done on the cross according to the Scriptures. And what happened after he died? Jesus Christ, he said, before he died actually, he said this. After the darkness, he said this. This is a very precious verse. He said with a loud voice, "It is finished. It is done." What religion tries to do, all the religions of the world, they try to add onto all these things and try to get to heaven by all these different things that they try to do. But God clearly has said, it is finished. The cross is enough. Christ is enough. He did it all. There's nothing left to do. And tonight, that is where you want to find your sin. You want to find it on the cross, placed upon Jesus Christ. That's what Scripture says. And if you see this, that he died for you on the cross, you will be saved. You will have a shelter in the time of storm. You see, this world is ready for judgment. We heard in the afternoon ministry today of what will happen yet to this world. There's horrible, horrible things coming upon this earth. And it has a lot to do with Israel. And Israel will be the center of God's dealings on the earth. But the whole world will be under the judgment of God. And terrible things will happen for 7 years. And we need a shelter, because we believe that Christ will come for the church, and he will rapture. He will, Bible says, caught away or taken up or rapture, and he will take his church away, and everybody who is saved, who is born again, will be taken to be with Christ in the air. And it says we shall ever be with the Lord. But then there's going to be 7 years of tribulation that will happen upon this earth. The first 3.5 years will be terrible. The last 3.5 years will be unfathomable. And it is coming upon this earth. You need a shelter. You need Christ. You need the person of Jesus Christ. None else, no religion, but a person. And this person, called Jesus Christ, died for us. You see, the gospel is for people, for us. God gave his son. It says there in John, the Father sent the Son. What to do? To be the Savior of the world. So that is really what God sent his Son, to be the Savior of you and of me. God wants you in heaven. Scripture says that he is not willing that any perish, that nobody dies and goes and is away from him, separated forever from him. No, double no. God is not willing that any should perish. That's why he gave his precious dear son, we read in Scripture, his dear son, his well-beloved son, to go down to this wicked world and to pay for sin, to go on a cross, to be punished. God loves the world. That's why he did it. Christ came because he loves the world. We read there in Galatians 2, the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. God demonstrated his love towards us. He showed it that while we were yet sinners, we're the ones who were the sinners, Christ died for us. So tonight, may you please take this very serious. It is very solemn, because if you die in your sins, it is too late. It is too late. Now, Scripture says, it's a day of salvation. Today is a day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. We are not promised tomorrow. We don't know what a day may bring forth. And you need to recognize tonight that Jesus Christ wants to save you. He loves you. He loves me. And he wants you to be in heaven forever with him. That is why he came so low. He wants to take you up high to be with him forever because he loves you. If you just trust him, just be honest with God. That's what I recommend. Just be honest with God. That's what happened with me the day I got saved. I remember I just went into that on Lipton Street, that house in the West End. I'll never forget that day. And I just, in the washroom floor, I just cried out to God, "Oh God, I have sinned. I am lost. I'm going to hell. Please save me." Just honest with God. And what will he do? A seeking sinner will always find a seeking Savior. If you seek Christ, if you are honest with him and you ask him to save you, just be honest with him. He will surely save you. He says, "All that come to me, everyone that comes to me, I will never, never cast away. He will never push you away." No, he never did that. On earth, when he was here on earth for 33 years, he never pushed anybody away who came to him with an honest heart, wanting help, wanting him. He never pushed them away. So he wants to save you, dear soul. He loves you. And he did everything on a cross. Christ died, it says. We'll read the verse one more time before we close. "But God commendeth," or "God demonstrated his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Let us pray. Father,